Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting tonight. Maybe there are some that have never heard the gospel of the grace of God preached tonight, and we trust that by the word of God being read and the power of the Spirit of God applying that word, that there might be fruit for God tonight, that you might know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's sing together number 24. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Our loving God, our Father, we thank thee for the good news of eternal salvation. For any who are lost in this room tonight, without God, without hope, facing a lost eternity and the consequences of sin against the holy God. And we pray that they might hear of the love of Christ tonight, and that mighty work that was accomplished, and the love behind that work on the cross of Calvary, and that the blood of Christ has been shed to cleanse them, to make provision that their sins could be cleansed forever in the sight of a holy God. And we know that the time is almost up. We're in the last hours of the day of grace, and we ask thee to bless thy precious word here this evening to saint and sinner alike. So we ask thy blessing, our God and our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to look at the last book of the Bible. Just read in chapter 4 of Revelation. I'd like to read the end of the story. We know what the beginning is. The beginning is that God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was God's purpose that he was going to have a bride for his son. We didn't know about it. The Old Testament saints didn't know about it. But God has revealed that. I want to read the end of the story. For those of us that are in this room that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, this is the end of the story. Verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That scene is just about to occur. That scene is just about to happen. It's a historical fact. God has written it in his word, and it will take place, and I will be there. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you will be there too. Now, how did it happen that there would be the symbolic 24 elders, 4 and 20, 12 elders really symbolize those 12, the Old Testament saints, all of those in the Old Testament that had faith and that had life, divine life given to them of God. They're going to be there, not one missing. And the other 12 elders symbolize all of those that have been saved by the grace of God since the Lord Jesus went to the cross. A new creation race. Those that have new life. The very life of Christ. Those that have their sins forgiven. Those that are made members of the body of Christ. Those that are part of the bride of Christ. There they are. They're in the presence of the Lord. Sins forgiven, no longer guilty before God, but better than this, they're there in relationship to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, and it says, this is what they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Now I want to look a little bit at who it is. Who is it? Is it the very best of those that were living in the world? The very best in the earth? Is that who is here? Were they worthy of their own merit? We don't have a lot of time, but let's look at some little portions of Scripture. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Just picture it. Those of us born into this world, sinners, we could all hang a sign around our necks, sinner. From among the Gentiles, the most wicked of those of the human race. You know, the Jews had the law of God. They had the Old Testament. They had the Word of God. They had some light. Not a lot of light, but they had some light. They knew the God, the Eternal One, l'Eternel, the Eternal One, Jehovah. They knew Him. They didn't know Him intimately, but they knew Him. They had some light. They knew they were sinners. And God gave them a religion, perfect religion. He gave them a religion that they could offer a sacrifice for sin, and one sin could be forgiven. One sin at a time. And He told them He loved them. But they didn't know how much. But you know, in the day of grace, He tells us, it says in verse 8 of this, let's read verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The source of your blessing, the source of the blessing of those that will sit on those 24 seats symbolically, you're going to sit. If you know Christ as Savior, you're going to sit in the presence of the Son of God. Your mouth will be open to praise Him, to thank Him for your eternal salvation, to thank Him for His love, for His grace, for His mercy, to thank Him for your relationship with Him forever. You'll never forget what took place at the cross of Calvary. And you'll never forget that it was His love, the source of your blessing tonight. Is the love of God. Doesn't come from here. It's the love of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God. And He wants to bless you, and He wants you to be a part of that company that's sitting in His presence. Sees Him in all of His glory and without any fear. The mouth is open. The heart is open. There's praise and thanksgiving to God. Are you a sinner? If you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, you're a sinner. And Christ came into the world to save sinners. I sat across the table from a young lady. She was perhaps 31, 32 years old. At a restaurant, we spoke of the Lord. And she said, I've never sinned. I said, well, God says all have sinned and come into the... All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She said, I've never sinned. I said, well, God says we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. She says, I never sinned. I said, after 5 minutes of conversation, I had to say, well, you don't qualify for salvation. the qualification is to be a sinner. The company of those that sit in the presence of the Lord Jesus at that hour, after the rapture takes place, the Lord Jesus is going to come for his own. Those that were in the graves are going to be raised incorruptible. The body's glorified. If you are here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you have your sins forgiven, you've trusted the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all sin, you're going to be in that company. The rapture will take place. There'll be a brief review of your life by the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards given. You'll come to this place. You'll see the Lord Jesus in all of his glory. And as a company, we'll cast our crowns at his feet. We'll say we had nothing to do with it. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. If we did anything to please him, it was because he gave us the grace. He gave us the desire. He gave us the energy. He gave us the life to do anything to please him. We'll cast our crowns before him. But that's just the beginning. That's the end of the story as far as what it is to leave this scene and find ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We could go into more detail. What kind of material? Sinners. But you know, the sinner was so bad, the material was so bad, God says he needs to give you a new life, a new nature. He makes you a new creation in Christ. Oh, isn't it wonderful to think that the flesh in you is going to be eradicated at the time of the rapture. If those of us that are here are alive at the time of the rapture, we're going to be taken out of this scene. We'll have our final redemption. Our bodies will be redeemed. We'll be changed into the image of the Lord, in sense that we'll have our bodies will be glorified, the very body that you have, and you're going to be there. That's the end of the story. That's the beginning of the end of the story, if I could put it that way. Are you going to be there? The qualification is that you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. A sinner without God, without hope, but to plead for mercy. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 or chapter 2. Verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now he's speaking to believers, but we'll apply these verses of scripture. They do apply to an unbeliever that believes the Lord Jesus, takes Christ as Savior. It says that God is rich in mercy. And it speaks again of his great love. Do you know this word love is mentioned 20 times in this epistle to the Ephesians? 20 times. God reminds those that belong to him of his great love. You're going to find yourself in the presence of the Lord Jesus. You're going to sense his love. It says he nourisheth and cherisheth the church. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The Lord Jesus will look upon you. He's going to be fully satisfied. It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, he shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul, and she'll be satisfied. He's going to look at you. He's going to say, I have everything that I ever wanted. He's going to be satisfied. And you're going to be satisfied too. But if you're sitting here tonight You've never acknowledged that you're a sinner. Sit up. Pay attention. You're a sinner. There's another end. We don't like to read this other end, but we need to read the other end. We could read different passages of Scripture, but let's look at Revelation chapter 20. I saw in verse 11 a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, where did these people come from? Why are they here? Why aren't they in the other company? Why aren't they singing and praising? Why are they here? How did they get here? Did they hear about the love of the Lord Jesus? Well, some of them did. Some of them had the testimony of the creation. It says in Romans chapter 1, so that they are without excuse. They had the testimony of the power of God in creation. And they refused it. And they left this world. I was sitting in a car with man. Not too long ago, we used to work together. He's in his mid-70s and not in good health. He's been to a gospel meeting before in Hamer Bay when he worked with us. He's still an unbeliever. I said, Mike, God loves you. And he sent his son into this world because he loved you. He sent his son in this world so that you could have your sins forgiven. And God has decreed that every man, woman, and child is going to leave this world. Not one body of one person that is created in the image of God is going to remain in this world. Not one baby. They're all going to be removed from this world before it's destroyed. Not one that is going, that has been created in the image and glory of God, will remain in this earth. And there's only two destinations. One destination we just read of in Revelation chapter 4. We could have read it in different passages of Scripture. Another destination is the lake of fire. Well, I said to Mike, here it is, springtime. And here it is. The trees looked dead just a couple of weeks ago. Dead as doornails. Dead. But they're alive. It's a picture that God has given us of resurrection. The leaves come out on those trees. The grass comes up. And he laughed in my face. He said, you don't believe in resurrection, do you? I do believe in resurrection. And God's word has said that everyone will be raised. Every man, woman, and child is going to be raised from among the dead, from the dead. Everyone. Some will enter into life. Some will be cast into the lake of fire. We don't have time to go into the details of the first resurrection or even the last resurrection and those ones that are cast alive into the lake of fire. There are those, you know, that are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who's going to be there? We know some that are going to be there. Cain is going to be there. Judas is going to be there. There are different ones. I can't see into your heart tonight. I can't see whether you've put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. God sent his Son into this world because he loved you. He wanted you to have the richest blessings of heaven that is possible for God himself to think of and to provide for man that was born into this scene. Those that accept Christ as Savior today in the day of grace receive the highest blessings possible that God can possibly bestow upon a creature. Brings you into relationship with himself as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ, as one that is going to be a part of the bride of Christ, will be in relationship, nearest relationship with him for all eternity. And it says in the word of God, Ephesians chapter 1, that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. He has it. He has done it now. And you have forgiveness of sins as a present possession. You have redemption as a present possession. You have the justification from all sin presently. You have the gift of sonship, a son of God, eternally. You have it now. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, what a blessing. What a God we have that loves us and wanted to give the very best. And if you're sitting in your seat here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have another opportunity just at the last hour, just before the Lord is going to come for his own. You have an opportunity to acknowledge that you sit in your seat as a sinner and to sue for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't need to put the words in your mouth, but you can cry in your heart to the Lord himself and tell him that you're a sinner and that you want to have your sins forgiven, and he'll receive you. So let's look at this verse again in Revelation chapter 4. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat upon the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I say again, that scene is just about to be unfolded before our eyes. This world is growing in its wickedness, in its departure from the moral characteristics God created, the moral laws, you might say. This world is departing from what God has set as order and is rejecting the Creator, is rejecting God, is rejecting the light of the Word of God, and it is sinking into the darkness of heathenism again. God is going to remove us. If the Lord Jesus was going to come tonight, would you be ready? Or would you be sitting here in this seat? The rest of us would have this scene soon unfolded before our eyes. Let's commend ourselves. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners. We thank thee that thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so we pray for any here in this room tonight who are sinners facing judgment, but who have been told of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. We pray that thou wilt work by thy Spirit, and that our young might hear thy voice and cry to thee, blessed Savior, for salvation. Have their sins forgiven tonight. Be cleansed, perfectly cleansed, in the precious blood of Christ. And so we thank thee, our God, for thy word. We pray for thy blessing upon thy precious word tonight, that it might bear fruit for thee. And that we that know thee, Lord Jesus, as Savior, might rejoice in the fact that we're going to see thee, Lord Jesus, face to face in all of thy glory very shortly. We thank thee for it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.